A head of cabbage sitting on a kitchen counter is not, strictly speaking, a sterile object. Across every square centimeter of its outer leaves, a community of bacteria is already in residence. Lactobacilli, Leuconostoc, Pediococci, a scattering of yeasts and molds. They arrived weeks ago, blown in on field dust, deposited by insects, transferred from the hands that harvested it. They are eating microscopic amounts of leaf sugar and exuding tiny quantities of lactic acid. They are, in effect, already doing what you will ask them to do in a jar. The cabbage is preloaded. The fermentation begins not when you add a culture, but when you remove the conditions that have been suppressing it. This is the principle that makes wild fermentation work, and it is the one most beginners do not believe at first. There is a persistent intuition, reinforced by decades of yogurt starter and bread starter and kombucha SCOBY marketing, that fermentation requires the addition of a specific microbial culture sourced from somewhere clean and traceable. For some ferments, this is true. Yogurt does require its specific lactobacilli. Beer requires its specific yeasts. But the entire family of lacto-fermented vegetables, sauerkraut, kimchi, cucumber pickles, gundruk, kvass, runs on bacteria that are already on the produce. You are not introducing them. You are giving them an environment in which they can outcompete everything else. The environment in question is salt and submersion. 2% salt by weight of the vegetables and brine is the rough working figure, enough to inhibit most of the spoilage organisms that would otherwise dominate. Low enough that lactobacilli, which tolerate salt better than their competitors, can keep multiplying. Submerging the vegetables below a brine line cuts off oxygen, which excludes the aerobic molds and bacteria that would otherwise colonize the surface. Together, these two interventions are not creating a fermentation. They are tilting the playing field. The lactobacilli were always there. You are just removing their competition. The book that made this argument legible to a generation of home cooks was Sandor Katz's Wild Fermentation, published in 2003. Katz, working from his own kitchen in rural Tennessee, reframed home fermentation around the principle that the microbial work was already happening on the vegetables themselves, and that the cook's job was to manage conditions rather than introduce cultures. The book was not the first to make the point. Peasant traditions across Eurasia had operated on exactly this logic for millennia. But it was the one that surfaced it for a contemporary audience that had been raised on sterilization as the default kitchen virtue. 23 years later, the wild fermentation method is the dominant approach in home kitchens, restaurants, and a growing share of small commercial producers. The success rate, when basic hygiene is observed, is high. I would put it at better than 95% across the home batches I have seen. The remaining failures cluster into three reliable causes. The first is low salt. Dipping below 1.5% salt by weight lets spoilage bacteria, molds, and yeasts compete on roughly equal terms with the lactobacilli, and the ferment goes sideways. The second is food rising above the brine line, exposing the upper layer to oxygen and allowing calm yeast or surface mold to colonize the top. The third is cross-contamination from raw protein. A cutting board or knife used for raw meat or fish, then used for the vegetables without thorough washing, introduces pathogens that the salt and acid environment will not necessarily clear in time. Almost every wild ferment failure I have seen traces back to one of those three. The principle itself is robust. The execution requires only basic discipline. The principle does not extend to all foods. And this is the line where home fermentation safety becomes important to get right. Meat does not work the same way. The bacterial flora on raw meat is different, populated more heavily by species that are pathogenic to humans, and lacking the dense lactobacillus population that vegetables carry by default. The natural microbial environment on meat does not select for safety under simple salt and submersion conditions the way the environment on cabbage does. Traditional meat curing methods, prosciutto, dry-cured sausages, fermented fish, work, but they require additional controls. Nitrate or nitrite salts to suppress botulism, specific humidity and temperature curves, often a starter culture to drive the fermentation in the right direction quickly enough to crowd out pathogens. This is why the casual wild approach that works for cabbage does not transfer to a slab of pork. It is not that meat cannot be fermented at home. It is that the safety margins are smaller and the controls have to be tighter. Anyone moving from vegetables to charcuterie should respect this. The biochemistry is not the same. Sourdough culture is an instructive middle case. a sourdough starter is wild. You are catching the yeasts and lactobacilli already on the flour and in the kitchen air. But unlike vegetable fermentation, it requires sustained selection over days or weeks to become reliable. The first few days of a new sourdough starter are often dominated by the wrong organisms, enterobacteria, Leuconostoc strains that produce off flavors. And only after repeated feedings does the population shift toward the lactobacilli and saccharomyces strains that produce good bread. Wild vegetable fermentation works fast because the salt and submersion selection is aggressive from minute one. Wild sourdough works slowly because the selection mechanism, repeated feeding and discard, has to run for many cycles before the desired microbial population stabilizes. Same wild principle, different timescales because the selective pressure is different. The lesson worth taking from all of this is that the microbial world is not waiting to be introduced into your kitchen. It is already there, on every leaf and in every cup of flour. The cook's work in fermentation is not to add organisms. It is to choose which of the ones already present get to thrive. That is a more interesting job than starter shopping. It is also closer to what every traditional fermenter on Earth was doing before microbiology had names for any of it. You are not making the ferment. The ferment is making itself. You are just deciding which version of itself it gets to be.